Okay, I want to welcome everybody back to the final portion of this morning's session. We've got four excellent speakers, and I just want to, again, thank you. We had a really good discussion this morning, really excellent questions, and I'm sure that'll continue for the next couple talks. So our next speaker is Finn Plaborg from, I'm going to mispronounce this, so I'll let you know that, University of Aarhus, Denmark.
Thank you. I'm pleased that you stayed here. It's been a long week. You will find me rushing a bit through some of the slides, but it will be uploaded, so when we come to the results, I'm sure I run out of time, but I'll try to do my best. This work is part of a big European project that I have been leading. It's just finalized, the SOFIA one. Actually, I was a bit scared. It's 90 man years of work carried out in that project. The modeling part could not be taken on board without those nice guys. Mikkel, a strong mathematical guy, Per, he's doing the C++ coding, and this is the father of Daisy, if you happen to know about that model. So why are we interested in this modeling thing? There are some drivers, and we know that around the world we need to go for some water-saving irrigation strategies. Several drivers, of course, and they impose pressures differently across the world, but water scarcity is known across several places to be a real challenge. We deal with that in this SOFIA project, and we actually had experiments across the world. This is from China. And we want to explore this deficit irrigation and partial root zone drying irrigation a bit more. It came out from Australia, the wine grapes. They found that they could irrigate left and right hand of the trees. So 1 week wetting here, another week here, and that actually came to get some other than hydraulic signaling into play, namely plant hormones. So how can it be? And we really became interested in that. So we set up some experiments. They are a bit expensive though, because now we introduced Natafim from Israel was in this SOFIA project, and we put two drip lines in the ridge, which is a bit expensive, but for the research part, it's okay. We wet its left and right hand, so we have the red and the blue drip line, so we could shift. And we had an experiment in the field 2006, and actually we saw some promising results. We saved this 30% amount of water compared to the fully irrigated, and even we could increase the yield. That was a bit amazing, and we were very interested in trying to even also model that. So Fulai, who is still working very hard as a plant physiologist, did some pod experiments, and you see here, when we have well-watered situation, we have completely open stomata, and the stomatal conductance is high. When we impose a slight water stress, the stomata will partly close, but the decrease in the stomatal conductance is much higher than the decrease in the assimilation rate measured. So that actually shows that it's possible on a leaf status in a pot glasshouse experiment to have a dramatic increase in the intrinsic water use efficiency. So the question is, and that's what I'm going to talk about then, this ABA, how do we model that? How do we include that in a comprehensive model? And which kind of stomata conductance equation do we want to apply? And then some result with this modeling. So are we on the right track? ABA in the pots, well, that's a bit easy to measure because we put the complete pot under pressure, the complete root system, and then we could take the plant xylem fluid. And in that due to the method of ELISA, measure this ABA concentration. I point out here that it's done in the 3.4 organic matter soil because we think that contributes to some of our confusions. So here is just this description. We put this pressure 0.3 megapascal, and then we could collect the sap, and then we had this analysis. It's well known, published in the literature, how to do that. Then my PhD really wanted to be here. He's from Iran. He failed to get a visa. Sorry. He made some experiments where we had a bit lower bulk or organic matter in the coarse and the sandy loam. We have a very terrific facility for doing that, so we can really control the water balance. And when we mean full irrigated, we really mean that we have a full transpiration rate, but we will never lose water out of the bottom of the lysimeter. This is very important to notice, and we can control that, this kind of experiment. And we put on all the gear. Crop physiologists people love that. We also have this automated TDR stuff, and we followed everything we could follow. So we made diurnal measurements, 6, 9, 12, more on stomatal conductance, ABA, photosynthesis rate, ABA concentration, leaf water potential. But here we couldn't, of course, take the complete lysimeter and put on the pressure. It's 4 square meter and 1.5 meter depth. So we had to find another way of pressure the plant sap. So we took the stem, and we have comparable good ABA measurements. However, though, in a similar soil type, the coarse sand to what Fuller measured, his baseline for a full irrigated, the ABA was 115, but we have a bit higher, and it could be this organic matter, because ABA is produced when the crop feels a little bad, and it's also if there's a resistance towards root growth, and maybe that little higher organic, I don't know. So we have this conflict. We found 115 in this pot and 170 and 210 nanomolar ABA. And we don't really know the reason, but it will cause us a bit problem as well when we introduce that knowledge into the DAISY model. That's just what we have to face for the moment. So what did we do with this DAISY model? Well, up until now, it was a 1D. Now it became a 2D with everything. Temperature, CN, turnover, water. It had its light and shaded leaves. We put in the Farquhar-Bolberry College models for photosynthesis. We put in that we now integrated it up to a sunny single leaf model and a shaded single leaf model. We introduced the findings of Fulai on that if the soil water potential decreases, we have a increased ABA concentration in the xylem. So this is the equation we used. We look upon a domain with DAISY, which is here, a rich, wet and dry dribber, the potato, and then the 2D domain in which there is a root domain as well. So now, due to this ABA concentration function, where ABA is a function of soil matrix potential, we, with the DAISY model, calculate that soil water potential in every calculation cell, and that means we come to know all the concentration in the complete root system, and when there's a water flow, this water will take this ABA into the xylem. So that's the way we did it. And the well-known Richards equation is used for the calculation of the water transport. So it's now a 2D with X and Z directions. We have a domain with a lot of rectangles. We use a discretization in time, which is dynamic. And we can introduce the Mulalem van Genugten or the Mulalem Broxen Curry unsaturated hydraulic conductivity. Recently, some quite new equations came up on the stomatal conductance. We decided to focus on that one here. So we parameterized the pot data on potato with this equation. So now the stomata conductance is a function of the assimilation rate, the humidity at the leaf level, the carbon dioxide concentration at the leaf level, times a exponential functionality of the concentration of ABA. And this is when there is no sunshine, we have this minimum stomatal conductance. Okay, so this equation also entered into the DAISY model, and we need to take care of everything in the canopy, so we have to know there's a different layered structure, and there's a partial more and more shading when we go down in this canopy. So we introduced 30 levels, and we could integrate all those 30 levels up to that we have this one single leaf thinking. So we are now interested in seeing if, and I'll come to now the results section, that the water use efficiency, are we on the right track, the findings that the intrinsic water use efficiency could be increased by imposing a mild water stress. That's quite interesting. So we now model the potato data from the semi-field experiment. And how much time I have left?
About 4.5 minutes.
4.5 minutes, thank you. This is how it looks. We control, there's no precipitation. I'm focusing now on the water content. Here you see TDI installed across the ridge. We focus on that 77, so we integrate the total root zone. And here you can see the dripper, the potato, the dripper again. So this is the one we compare. And we can see, and we'll see that continuously during all the slides, that we can't really get the dynamics of the measurement, but the level is here quite okay. And it's of course important for us to get the correct response in water, because that then put the ABA into flow, and then it regulates the stomata, so we are still not there. We also compare TDR horizontal at different depths, and this is the location, and this is the simulation results for the coarse sand. We picture quite well here the dynamics. We think here it's when we install the TDR, there's a lot of sort of air gaps, and after the first rain or irrigation, there'll be a better contact. But we actually can't, in the minus 8 and minus 23 centimeter, get the correct picture. For the PID one, we have to show then the left and the right hand side of the potato, because we irrigate on the left, sorry. Thanks. We irrigate on the left and right hand. And actually we can get this dynamic shown both in the measurement and the model. So here we irrigate on the right hand and we don't on the left, and then we shift. To challenge the hydrous model a bit, we trained it to know about crops, because it's actually completely stupid about crops, I think. Sorry, hydrous. So to see if we could get that model to respond better, and I don't think, but there is a bit higher dynamic in that model. Here again on this coarse sand we have those horizontal probes, and you can see we actually are way off, sort of. But this is okay for me, there's still something to learn. We also compared the measured stomatal conductance and the simulated, and what we find is what we expect, that there is a higher conductance in the fully irrigated, the ABA pressure a bit, the stomatal conductance to be lower. We definitely can't get a good comparison in the end, and that's again important, because that really tells us that the model had a lower transpiration than we actually asked for, and that will also be shown in the data later. We also compared the ABA measurements, and you can see this is diurnal measurement, so I go a bit closer. This is the morning, this is the evening, and we can discuss if we are here on the right track. We see, though, in the model higher ABA as we expect because of the mild dryness. In the morning and in the evening is not so important because the stomata will be closed anyway, but we still, of course, would like to have a better comparison. So the yields and the use efficiency, well, we saw the same. We actually expected higher yield efficiency here, but we didn't. So there's still something to learn. Less irrigation input between the PRD and the Foley, similar transpiration models, the yield calculation by the model and what we obtained by measurement. And now I browse all the slides from the loamy sand, just very slowly, just give a glance of it, and it's the same setup. So it's just that, you know, we try to do it also in that soil, and we have some problems, you can see. The PRD one. We still have this, we picture well the shifting. We can't get this, we can't really get the water use here. There's a dramatic water use not pictured by the model. It could be that stomata, which is too low. The yield and the water use efficiency the same. We save some water, we have the same yield. We even measured higher yield here, which is very interesting. Conclusions. The reason why we have different ABA level, we are not sure. We still want to work on that. Could it be the environment who causes the semi-field to have higher ABA than in the glasshouse? We are happy about the modeling. We really, 30 man-month work, got this model to work in 2D with all the photosynthesis stuff. We need to work on this DS model in the late season. There are some with the water which is off. I think we have some ideas on that to model actually a 2D world which is a 3D thing. There's something how to compare this. We still want to work on that. The intrinsic water use efficiency, we didn't really find the expected, but we'll just go on. Thank you.
One question for Finn. Dennis.
I'm really happy sometimes with the transpiration from the sunlit and shaded under water stress, you know, what's happening when you're dividing the canopy into sunlit and shaded components. The photosynthesis and transpiration things might be actually be a little bit different than they are under well water conditions. Can you comment on that?
Yes. It's difficult because, you know, we also have to introduce a wind function down into the canopy. And how is it, this wind function? And how is then the state variables, humidity and temperature inside the canopy? I'm sure we can still learn a lot here, and I'm not sure we have the correct SWOT model for this, but that's how far we could get for the moment.
I think in the interest of time, we'll move on to the next speaker, but I'm sure Finn will make sure he's still available at the end of the session today so we can ask him more questions. Okay, thank you. Our next speaker is Jessica Torian.
Torian.
And she's from the University of Nebraska.
Good morning. I'm very